to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
You know how long it's been since we've got, like, or you know, I should say how long it feels like it's been since we've gotten to record. Is the big story, the first big story that we missed because of our holiday break was Trump NFTs, which feels like a millennia ago because of everything that's happened.
Oh my God. I'm so glad you mentioned that. It's not even on the docket. Oh, all right. Let's start there because that's just funny, right? Like, it was just
it's hilarious that thousands of people paid $99 for Trump NFTs that were just copied from images on the internet that they couldn't even bother to take the watermarks out of, and immediately the value of these things plummeted, as every NFT does.
Yes,
because they're so late to the party. I can't even fathom it.
Like, quite literally, like a year late, which is just hilarious. Donald Trump's NFTs plunge 80% in 2 weeks as traders reel. Yeah, those are worthless. They're Photoshopped images of Donald Trump that you could just download. I don't even understand the point of NFTs. Like I intellectually understand, but like I understand
it's a digital trading card that only one copy exists of, essentially.
Right. But also at the same time, it's digital. Mm-hmm. So it's useless as far as like I have the single copy. Like,
yes,
trading cards are important because it's a physical thing. And you can be like, I have the original fucking Babe Ruth rookie card or whatever. And no one can take that away from you. But if it's just, here's a picture of that card, who cares if you own it or someone else owns it? No one cares. Can I still look at it? Yes. Can I like download it and do whatever I want to it? Yes. Okay. Then
one of my favorite trolls was there's this dude on Twitter who whenever like bros would post their NFTs on Twitter and be like, oh, look at this cool NFT I had. Like, he would immediately make the picture, his profile picture, and like reply to them. And some of them would get really upset. Like you're infringing on my property, man. Like you can't, you gotta take that picture down. He's like, actually, I can get rid of the fuck I want. Like, I literally just copied this image.
Yeah. Like it's meaningless. Like, yeah. You know, who is buying these? Like you really are an idiot tech bro. If you buy an NFT, like you really are stupid. Like, this is not going to be a thing in 5 years where people are like, oh yeah, it actually took off. It will not.
It was interesting because, like I said, he teased this as like this like big announcement he had coming, everyone's like, oh, he's going to announce his vice president or whatever nonsense, you know, like he's going to announce something big, you know, related to his run.
Right.
And then it was Trump NFTs, which he sold in his ad with all of the gusto that Donald Trump sells anything, which is to say not very much.
Yeah. I don't know. You suckers like this bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't even get it. But
if you buy one of these, you get to be in a drawing to eat dinner with me, which is a pretty good prize, I guess. We think it's a good prize. Like, that's literally verbatim, like a line from the announcement.
Wow. I can't wait to sign up. Like,
what did some of his like most loyal dick humpers, we're a little let down by the announcement. I gotta
good
say.
Good look, yeah. it is remarkably stupid, like it just is. But look, God bless, man, if you're willing to shell out $100 for a terribly photoshopped image of Donald Trump, go ahead. Okay.
And all that money went to him as well, by the way. Like, not even a PAC, not even his campaign.
Straight
like,
in
just
his no, pocket.
Like, open my wallet and just like let the money flow in. Let's fucking go.
You guys are fools.
Look, I respect the hustle.
You have to. Hustle. You have to.
Yeah.
Wow, I totally forgot about the NFTs. All right, so after the NFT debacle, there are many other things, and we'll talk about some of them. But the big story this week has been, you really can't, like, dude, I often, like, how I generate stories for the docket is, like, you know, if a story pops or whatever, if I remember, like, in the moment, I'll go and add it to the docket. A lot of times I don't. But I'll save articles in Reddit, right? I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe we'll talk about that. And I'll save it, and then I'll kind of go back and generate a docket list. And then I also go to Reddit, to their politics section, and just see what the top stories are, because some smaller stories I miss, right? And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Every story, almost every story in the last like 3 days has been on the same topic, which is the utter embarrassment of Kevin McCarthy scratching to survive in the House to become House Speaker.
And just to give you guys even more of a peek behind the curtain, Jay usually links the stories in our docket that we use on Google Docs. Jay didn't link any stories for this one because he doesn't have to, because we're so immersed in it, we can just talk about it off the cuff. That's how insane this
and,
shit is.
And so the first story I have, Kevin McCarthy loses. I started at 6 consecutive votes for speakership. I've had to update it every day, and now Brad just updated it, loses 10 consecutive votes because that's how many times he's lost. And his numbers are going down.
Literally historic. This has not happened since, I think, pre-Civil War.
It was 100 years ago. Yeah.
No. That was the last time that a first speaker vote didn't make it through. That Congress, the 1923 Congress, it took them 9 votes to get a speaker elected. We are now past that. And the last time it took this many votes, I think it was 1857. Wow. The last time that it took this many votes to get a speaker. Now, that Congress had 23. So we still have a ways to go before we get to truly record-breaking levels. And I don't know if we will get that far, because from what I understand, the way the House rules work is that once you've done 12 votes that aren't successful, it then goes to penalty kick. So we don't have to worry about keeping voting after we get to the 12 votes.
I don't know what Kevin McCarthy's plan here is. Like, the first round, he got 203. Mm-hmm. And now he's in the 10th round, and he's down to 200. So he's actually he's losing votes over time. Jim Jordan got 6 in the first round, kicked up to 19 in the second round, got all the way to 20, and then I guess everyone else is like, knock it the fuck off. And all the Freedom Caucus nutbags moved on, and so Jim Jordan has 0 throughout. Mm-hmm. Then Byron Donalds, he's the new, you know, Freedom Caucus fucking lover boy. He's gotten as high as 20 votes in the 4th round, and he's now diminished down to 13 votes in the 10th. Mm-hmm. So he's also losing votes. Kevin Hearn seems like he might be the new guy.
Who I literally had never heard of before. They're like,
I don't know who that is. By God, that's Kevin Hearn's music. What music? Who the fuck is Kevin
Gates?
Hearn?
Gates also nominated Trump.
Yes,
twice.
Did. Yes, he did.
Trump only got 2 votes each time. So Trump losing 2 elections in a day, which is a new record for him personally, which is very impressive.
Hey, man. That's 3 elections he's lost. That's great. sad. And then Hakeem Jeffries consistently at 212.
The leading vote getter every single time, because the Democrats are in complete lockstep and are not fucking around.
I love
with
it.
This shit.
So
it's amazing.
Okay, so here's the thing. There is an article we'll talk about where the Democrats and the Republicans are like, all right, man, well, let's chat. Like, you got to come to us, right? Because this 20-vote block, the Freedom Caucus, these are your hard, hard, hard right folks, right? These are your Lauren Boberts and so on and so forth. They don't feel that Kevin McCarthy, who is backed by Trump, incidentally, right? Mm-hmm. They don't feel that he's like freedom-y enough, right? Like, they don't believe he is as hard-lined as they are. He believes he's going to give concessions to Democrats, and he's going to work with the Democrats, you know, like how you're supposed to do in Congress. Weird. What an asshole. Don't get me wrong. Kevin McCarthy is a piece of shit, and he should never be speaker. But they're basically like, they hate the fact that this guy would actually like do what it is to be speaker to some extent, right? I think he'll do a shitty job, but at least he's willing to do a job. So this is what they're holding out for, is they're now going with Byron Donalds, I guess, or maybe Kevin Hearn, that, you know.
This constant like nominating alternate candidate shit, like, it's very cynical. You know, Jim Jordan was the first one, then Byron Donald they literally nominated because it's like, oh, look, we have a token black guy that we can put up for speaker.
Bingo.
Like, they kept going up and being like, oh, we nominate him to be the first black speaker of the House. Like, it's going to be great. Look at us. We're so progressive. Fucking, we're not racist at all, these Republicans. And it's like, okay, cool. That's very you know, transparent in what you're doing, but, you know, have fun with all that.
Yeah, that, by the way, it took three rounds before they got over that, and his number started to decrease. This whole black guy thing is not really interesting.
Well, and here's the, and here's the thing.
I don't believe that
The Kevin McCarthy is trying to give the farm away to the free markets. Like, he's willing to make ridiculous concessions.
Yeah, where is that fucking quote from their plan? All right, let me read this because it's amazing. I'm going to read this whole thing. This is from the Washington Post. This is an absolutely brutal bit of information. During late hour negotiations Wednesday, McCarthy agreed to propose rules change. This is negotiations with people in his own caucus. This is the negotiating with the Freedom Caucus nutbags. He agreed to propose rule change, according to four people familiar with the talks who spoke on the condition of anonymity, to discuss private deliberations. In a major allowance to hard right Republicans, McCarthy offered to lower from 5 to 1 the number of members required to sponsor a resolution to force a vote on ousting the speaker, a change that a California Republican had previously said he would not accept. You don't need to know anything else but that point. Is that he is willing to concede to these guys. Okay, let me give a little bit of history here. This rule change that any member of Congress or a small group of members can just call for the ousting of the speaker, this happened to John Boehner. They did this to Boehner, too. And he agreed.
Which is why he left, ultimately.
Yes, that's exactly why he left, right? Because they were like, we're going to call out the speaker. And he was like, you know what? You calling me out? Fuck you. I'm out of here. And he basically just bailed. If you allow these guys to have this power that one of them can call for a floor vote to oust you, why even stay a speaker at that point? How long do you think you were in the last? 2 weeks?
Well, and to be clear, like, they can call for the vote, but it still requires majority of the House to pass it. Like, it's not like a small minority of their caucus can vote to oust him and he's gone. But
you think 212 Democrats wouldn't vote to kick him?
Absolutely.
McCarthy out, of course.
But it just puts us potentially, and if they don't vote to oust him, it just puts us right back to where we fucking are, where we're just going to have this constant delay of them wanting to oust him. So you're right. Fucking stupid move. They also want to give Freedom Caucus crazies some really high ranking committee assignments as well. Like, Matt Gaetz wants to chair the Armed Services Committee. And Andy Harris, our boy here in Maryland, wants to chair the Appropriations Committee, and they want like hardliners on a lot of these high ranking committee seats. Bonkers, crazy, insane. Yep. Honestly, though, like, I think that they understand that this is the only way that they cannot be marginalized in this House, because, like you said, they're afraid that McCarthy is going to work across the aisle with especially with like moderate Democrats to get certain things passed that are like legitimate. And essentially, if you can find a block of 15 Democrats, I guess, when you're looking at the majorities, actually, I don't even think it's that high. But no, considering how many people are in their caucus, yes. If you can get a reliable block of 15 Democrats to vote with you on certain things, then you don't have to listen to these crazies over here because they don't matter, because you don't need their votes. And so they're trying to make it clear, not only to McCarthy, but also potentially to the person that succeeds McCarthy, if he can't make it through this speaker election, which it seems like a growing possibility that it's impossible, that, hey, we will not be ignored. Like they're trying to claim McCarthy's scalp so that they can show, like, look, we have power. We are powerful. You have to listen to us. We're the what the voters want, blah, 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 all this other bullshit. And so I think they're just trying to cement their or what passes for their authority in this Congress, essentially.
Yeah. Look, here's the thing, though. They're not wrong. They're not wrong. Right. Like, Kevin McCarthy will work with moderate Democrats. Mm-hmm. They do have power here. And there is nothing that is more obvious that they control way more than they should. And they wield more power than they definitely should, is the fact that Trump backs McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Trump, in this case, often referred to as like the Frankenstein's monster, he's Frankenstein. He's Dr. Frankenstein at this point. He has helped solidify and get these nutcases in office and help them help create fertile ground for them to all get in and support some of them getting in and everything else, probably all of them. But now they are Frankenstein's monster and they don't listen to Dr. Frankenstein anymore. Trump is like, Kevin McCarthy's the guy. And they're like, fuck what Donald Trump said.
Kevin McCarthy's the guy, but it's not like he's offering like a full throated endorsement.
No, he's not. He's not. Cause he likes the chaos, right? He loves the fact that like nothing's getting done, but in reality, the cat's already out of the bag. Like,
no, this you can't, 10 votes in. Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. You can't. Well, what I mean by that is you can't put these psychos back in the bag. Like there is a quote, I'll find it in a later article that like you've got these 20 people who are just total nutcases, right? And they're just like, no, we're not going to fucking do anything. We're going to vote against Kevin McCarthy no matter what, right? Again, I don't care if you vote against Kevin McCarthy. I hate Kevin McCarthy too. I agree. but then on the other side, the people voting for Kevin McCarthy, there's a bunch of crazies on that side too. They don't get as much press. Dan Crenshaw is quoted as saying, I'll find the exact quote. It's nuts. He's like, you've read this, right? He was like, I'm not voting for anybody but Kevin McCarthy. The only way I'm voting for anybody else for speaker outside of Kevin McCarthy is if Kevin McCarthy retires from the fucking House. So he is unwilling to move, according to what he is saying now, right? Like, of course, you know, things change and shit like that, right? They go like, we'll fucking kick your ass off a committee. And he's like, okay, all right, I'll do it. You know, fuck him. Like, I don't care about making fun of him. Fuck that guy. But like, you know, the idea of like, even he is to the most extreme part of the quote unquote moderate side. And he's like, I'm not budging at all. And there's probably a ton of people who aren't budging just like Crenshaw, but he's just more vocal about it.
Right.
Well, you're at a fucking stalemate. You're at a stalemate. Like, what are you going to do?
Well, and the problem is too, is that for both sides of the Republican divide on this is that they'd rather deal with Republicans than have to deal with Democrats, because Democrats are in a very, very strong position that it's like, hey, if you want us to defect and vote for your dude, like, we're going to need some major concessions during this Congress.
Yeah. Here's the quote. Representative Dan Crenshaw said Wednesday that he was willing to, quote, hold out forever on electing McCarthy, and that it would take McCarthy resigning from Congress for him to even consider a different candidate. Okay, well, I guess Dan Crenshaw, not a vote you can count on for anyone else, which is wild.
And I'll be honest, if I'm Kevin McCarthy and I can't find a way to get in speakership, I probably would resign from Congress, because this is literally what the last 10 years of your life have been building up to.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be the guy back in 2015 when Boehner left. And the fucking the Freedom Caucus or the Tea Party there was like, fuck that guy, like, we don't want him. So they had to settle for Paul Ryan. So he missed his shot there. But he's like, all right, well, it's gonna be Kevin's time to shine once Paul Ryan leaves and the next Congress comes around, and it's finally his time. And now like this other block of fucking lunatics is like, no, fuck this guy, we don't want him. We don't want him either.
Yeah. And look, Kevin.
So if you lose, just go home. What the fuck else are you going to do?
What, you think they're going to put you on anything major while you're sitting in the House? Like, it's just a regular, backbencher? Like, they're not going to
do it. And it would be the poetic icing on the cake, because a lot of, you know, stuff has been going around about that, him, Paul Ryan, and Eric Cantor, they were the young guns back in, you know, 2012, and, like, the future of the Republican Party. And I can think of no more poetic example of the future of the Republican Party as all three of those guys having embarrassing exits from Congress.
Yeah.
As the first two of them have had so far.
Yeah. Especially Eric Cantor. God damn. He was
Eric Cantor got the ball rolling.
Yeah. He was like, I'm going to be here forever. And they were like, forever? How long's forever? 2 weeks. You get the fuck out. So it's interesting, right? Like, I'm fascinated by Kevin McCarthy just hanging on here. Like, what does he think is going to change? What is he willing to give up? Like, every concession that he makes towards the MAGA folks, you're diminishing the power of the speakership, right? Like, so why do you even have it? If they can call for you to be ousted, one member can call for you to be ousted, and then that goes to a floor vote, you're in a world of trouble. Because they could just, they could basically just say, you know what? Don't even worry about it. We just go vote you in. And they could just wait until your first move and then just blow your ass right out of the water.
Yeah.
And like,
well, that that's the thing. Like, he is an intractable position. He has to dig his heels in. Like, he pretty much has to sit there until his people that are like his leadership people are just like, Kev, like, you gotta step aside. Like if he starts getting murmurs from those folks that like, hey, you gotta step down.
Right.
Then he might leave. But as of right now, his political future relies on him digging his heels in.
Well,
and not budging.
And here's the thing. Republicans are fucked any which way.
Yeah, they're fucked any which way you slice it.
Right. Because if McCarthy says, okay, I'm going to concede to the MAGA crazies, then the speakership is destroyed and the mob rules. And you don't dare cross Lauren Boebert.
Like Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz. You dare not cross them because at any point they can throw up your speakership and fuck you over, let alone just undercut you in general. Right. Like just like,
well, and that's the other thing that a lot of folks have been saying is that all these concessions that he's making is not just fucking him. It's fucking the next guy. Cause what are they going to Steve Scalise is going to come up and be like, oh, by the way, all these concessions you negotiated with McCarthy, fuck that. They're gonna be like, no, fuck you. Like we're getting all this.
Yeah.
Stuff.
We'll toss your ass too. Like we won't vote for you. Like, so it's not a big deal. Right. Also Steve Scalise, another terrible choice. So they're fucked. If he goes with the MAGA folks, he's fucked. Like mob rules, the party in and of itself in the House is destroyed because you're letting 20 people control a bunch of people. And that's fucked. The other side of that is you have, I'll wait on the other point, but there's another side, right? Which is going with the Democrats, right? You talk to the Democrats, you're like, hey, I'll make some concessions with you. We'll give you a couple more committees, a couple more power in committees. First thing I would do is like, you don't take Adam Schiff off of anything. Like, fuck off. Like, you're not booting any of these guys off any committees, right? He concedes that, all right, I'll concede all that. No problem. Get it in writing, whatever. Handshake deal, whatever. He concedes all of that. If that happens, and by the way, Democrats are never going to concede to getting Kevin McCarthy in. Like, that's not going to happen. They hate Kevin McCarthy, so there's no way they're going to give him power. But let's say that they did. The second he works with them, or any Republican works with them to get over that to that 218 number, the MAGA people go, cool, this guy is the enemy. Fuck him forever. Mm-hmm. You're done. Like, you have no power in your party. You cannot rally them for anything. And then the overarching point, which is what I skipped over and I want to come back to, this is indicative of a very terrifying thing, is that whoever the Republicans get in, how the fuck are you going to get a debt ceiling vote? Mm-hmm. You better hope that you can hold that 212, 200 amount of Republicans together. And look, there's some extremist nutcases in there too. They're just right. Dan Crenshaw is one of them, right? Like there's a couple of crazy nuts in that fucking bowl. You got to hope you can keep that 200 together, not 220, 200 together so that you can get enough Democrats to also go along with you to get the debt ceiling raised properly. Mm-hmm. Right. Debt ceiling, any other level of legislation. And, you know, of course they're cool with, you know, stopping any Biden legislation, but any like, budgets and things like that. If you can't get those basic things passed because you've pissed off the MAGA people, or you don't have enough Democrats to join you because it's Kevin McCarthy, let's say, you're fucked. Your speakership is wasted. It doesn't mean anything. And you're sitting there twiddling.
And here's what's funny is that Nancy Pelosi had the exact same majority threshold in this last Congress that just passed and was able to do everything because she's an effective leader and Kevin McCarthy's a piece of shit.
That is correct. as it was tweeted out by, what's the guy's name? Eli Mistel. You ever leave a job and secretly hope everything will fall apart once you're gone? Nancy Pelosi's living your dream. That's pretty good, man.
And it's funny because I was watching Hayes last night. He talked to Alyssa Slotkin, who is a moderate Democrat in Michigan. She has won a reddish district two elections in a row. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I didn't vote for Nancy Pelosi for speaker in either Congress that I was in, neither of these first two Congresses. But I also didn't go out there and have this battle on the fucking floor. Like, I didn't go out there and try to embarrass her. I was like, we had the discussions behind closed doors, and she wasn't happy about my position, but she understood it. And, you know, and she respected where I was coming from. And also, like, my vote didn't tank her speakership. Like Slotkin voted present, and that didn't affect Pelosi either way. Like, she was still able to get done what she needs to get done, because as it's been said, Nancy Pelosi would never walk onto the floor to take a vote that she doesn't already know the result of, or that she doesn't already know that she has the votes for.
Right.
To pass. And Kevin McCarthy just like, let it ride. Like, let's fucking go.
Surely number 10 will work. Oh, man. No one told me. Like, well, it is again, amazing. This is it's amazing that, how is embarrassing he is.
Each of them are trying to shame the other, but none of these fucking people have shame. They are shameless. Like Kevin McCarthy's surely they'll see eventually. They're embarrassing the country. They're embarrassing the party. Like, you know, like they're going to see. And on the other side, they're like, surely McCarthy will be chastened by losing all of these, all these elections or all these votes over and over and over again.
Sure, he doesn't want to get to 24. That's exactly it. They are in fact shameless.
Meanwhile, some Republicans are like fucking like the Democrats are loving this, and the Democrats are like, we are like, this is fucking incredible.
They're bringing popcorn.
Keep going.
Like,
yeah,
we are. Is this real butter? It's butter flavoring. It's amazing. Like, I saw Republicans saying online, they were like, they're probably paying these Republicans to do it. Democrats are the worst. They're probably paying Republicans. Like, no, dude, your party is just fucked up. This is not a conspiracy. You don't have to make up anything. Your people, they're going on the news telling you they are incapable of coming together. This is what happens when you elect nothing but extremist.
Mm-hmm.
You did this.
And that's the other thing, you too. That's the other reason why the MAGA folks don't care, is because they truly, those 20 people, have no interest in governing. They don't care. Like, this is what they're here for. They're generating content. Like, that's their fucking job. Like,
they're generating content. That's exactly right. Yeah. They're generating content. They're going on the news. They're having Stephanie Ruhle dunk on them in the middle of the day. Like, they're just, you're right. They're just generating content. They're getting their names out there. They're becoming popular so that they can go work for Fox News or whatever the fuck later on.
Right.
That's a dangerous precedent. It's a super dangerous precedent.
And as I saw it said, the GOP, fuck, like, they're really just reaping what they sowed, because the reason that these people are here is because they gerrymandered a shitload of tough districts into ruby red districts.
Right.
And when you gerrymander yourself into safe Republican districts, you can get fucking insane people that can't win in purple districts that can then go to Congress and fuck your shit up. Like, you did this to yourself.
Right. And you're double fucked because they're so gerrymandered. Even if you get rid of them, there's another nutcase coming right behind them.
Well, that was one of the other concessions. And this is funny because PACs are not supposed to have any, you know, bearing on the Congress, but fucking they have to, because that's what the Republican Party is at this point. Is that the club is the concession was that the normal, like, Kevin McCarthy PAC, like the House Republican PAC, no longer can get involved in safe red primaries against, like, the Club for Growth, which is the one that sponsors all of the fucking lunatics, essentially, because they didn't like the fact that in a lot of these safe seats that the normal Republicans, quote unquote, would run challengers against the fucking nutbag like incumbents
so they're teeing it up that to get even more crazies in.
Yeah. Yeah, their whole thing is leave incumbent Republicans alone, and stop going after us in these safe seats,
which is ironic, right? Because mm-hmm. I mean, it's hilarious in many ways, but historically it's ironic because that's how the MAGA Tea Party people got in, is by running mm-hmm. hard right wing people and attacking Republicans from the right. And they would take them out, and then they would, you know, pop in all these nutcases. And now once they're through the door, they're like, no, you can't do that now. That's fucking hilarious.
Pulling the ladder up behind him, as it said. So
I mean, from their perspective, you know, to their benefit, it makes total sense. But just historically, that's just hypocritical as shit. Like, that's mm-hmm. how you got in, is by attacking fucking moderate Republicans. And you're like, you're not crazy enough. And they were like, I'm not crazy. And it was like, well, you should have said you were crazy. Now you lost.
But it's also ironic because, like, they like to, like, one of the lines that they're throwing out, the fucking MAGA folks, is like, oh, look at the shitty midterms that Kevin McCarthy just had, like, where we should have won all these seats and we didn't. And I'm like, that's your fault.
Kevin McCarthy's fault because you ran
fucking crazy people.
Yeah.
Like, those are the people that are being elected against. Like as Rule went out, when Lauren Boebert decided to go on with Stephanie Rule, which, as you said,
dude, like, a
mistake.
Yo, like, yo, Stephanie Rule is smart. Yo, she's not going to just give you any kind of, like, bullshit time. Get out of here.
Yeah, she tried to Lauren Boebert made some comment about, oh, Kevin McCarthy voted with Democrats on red flag laws or stuff like that. And one of the last things that Rule says to her when the interview is wrapping up, and she's like, I would love for you to come back to talk about policy, to talk about red flag laws, which, by the way, overwhelmingly popular with American citizens. Just so you know, because I know you don't fucking read polling.
No, I mean, look, one, don't go on Stephanie Rule's show unless you know your shit. Yeah. Also, don't ever go on Velshi and Rule and, like, make some, like, ignorant comment about Velshi in front of Stephanie Rule. She'll jump the table, like, which is awesome. I love the two of them together. They're awesome. But you cannot expect a person, again, like her, who is from, or was from, a ruby, ruby red district. By the way, she's not going to last another 2 years.
Like, no.
No, because Boulder is in her.
Rule made that point to her. She's like, you're saying that, like, you have the American, like, you know what the true Americans want, this or the other thing. She's like, you won your election in a district that Trump won by 6 points. You won your election by 600 votes. Like, what? Like, how the fuck are you out here saying you're the one who's, like, representative of America? Like, you're barely here.
You're barely here. And by the way, you're barely here because this happens to be the first year that your district was changed.
Yeah.
Not the next time, sweetheart. Like, that is a wrap for you. They're like, wait a minute. I live in Boulder, Colorado, and this jackass is my representative? No, absolutely not. Like, no, like, it's funny. I have some friends who live in Boulder. Like, there's no way. Like, there's no, knowing them and knowing the type of people that they are and the type of friends they have, there's no way she survives another 2 years. It would be a miracle if she did. Look, you cannot expect any sort of policy out of these people. They're not, like you said, they are there to generate content. I'm not sure you've ever said anything more poignant and absolutely, like, dead on balls correct about the Republican Party. The MAGA people, that 20 person block, they are there to generate content. Matt Gaetz doesn't do jack shit ever. He is there to generate headlines, to flash that goofball smile and that hideous douchebag 80s hair. Like, that is what he's there for.
Fuck 17-year-olds and
then wait till they're 18 and then do it again.
Right. Gross. And call himself a Florida man because he keeps trying to take back that fucking meme for some reason. Like, I don't know why.
Stop. Like, like, you're not going to take it back. But you are kind of Florida man in a weird way. In the pedophile way. But, you know, you can't expect anything from them because they're just generating content. They have no desire to do anything, right? Like, mm-hmm. like you said, they are literally there to keep the shit from working. Like, that's what they're there to do. They're not there to generate real work. So I did like Biden's response to all of this, which is, that's not my problem. Bitch, I got presidenting to do.
Yeah,
like,
step aside. Not my monkeys, not my circus. Like, yeah. Like, deuces, yeah. Leave me the fuck alone.
He has played this whole thing of, like, watching MAGA destroy itself. He has played it perfectly. Most presidents on the Democratic side, I'm not sure. Maybe Obama probably would have played it pretty cool too, just because he was fucking brilliant in that. It's that same way. It's like a social intelligence, right? Like, you don't
he's smart enough to know, both of them are, but Biden in this case, because he's the president now, he's smart enough to know, like, he doesn't need to step in it because they're tearing themselves apart. B, the last thing you want to do is step in it and possibly unite them around a common foe. Like exactly. that's the other thing you can't have. Meanwhile, though, not only is he not stepping into it, he is also shading the fuck out of them with stuff that he's doing. So like today he was out in Cincinnati with the basically like dedicating the rebuilding of this major bridge. I can't remember what the bridge is called, but there's this like I was watching Maddow, and there's this bridge in Kentucky that goes from Ohio to Kentucky that literally like half of the nation's goods are transited across.
Sure.
And the bridge has been like in an incredible state of disrepair for decades. And it's always been like a priority to get this thing fixed, and they can never do it. Well, with the infrastructure plan that was passed during the last Congress and signed by Joe Biden, they finally are putting like $17 billion into fixing this bridge. And it's a fucking huge thing. It's a very big deal. They had an event to celebrate this, and it was Joe Biden, Andy Beshear, the Democratic governor of Kentucky, Mike DeWine, the Republican governor of Ohio, Sherrod Brown, a Democratic senator from Ohio, and Mitch McConnell, a Republican senator from Kentucky and Senate majority leader or Senate minority leader for the Republican Party.
Smart money. Like, while you guys are all killing each other, the Republican Party, I'm going to go in here and do this like fucking bipartisan fucking, hey, everybody, we're working together.
There were so many pictures of him and McConnell. Like, Biden's like, come on over here. Like, yeah, you want a pen? I'll give you a pen. You want the pen that I signed?
Yeah, come on over. Yeah. Fucking throw it at you. Like, but that's smart play. Like, he understands smart politics. He's been around long enough. He understands how to manipulate. I'm sure there are some people who will take this the wrong way, but I mean this positively because that's what politics is. It's not just passing laws and stuff like that. It's also a game, right? Like it is. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's only a game. It's not. Like lives are in the balance. But there is a game of like manipulating people's perceptions of events. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, I don't mean lying. I mean manipulating people's perception can sometimes be to grab someone's head and go, look this way at the thing we're doing, right? And in this case, that is what he's doing. Like, see how these guys are in disarray? He doesn't even have to say these guys. He can just go, look how things are organized and things are moving forward. And your immediate response is if you are watching the news and paying attention, you go, holy shit, look at that. And then you go, oh, right, over at the House, Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans have had 10 votes and they can't do a basic thing.
There's a fucking zoo going on over here. Meanwhile, Joe Biden's like building bridges and shit like that.
Quite literally, not lost at all the
irony of that.
Right. I am literally building bridges between the parties, right? Like, yes. Right. I mean, if Joe was a younger man, he'd be laying the fucking bricks himself, right? It's like, you know, give me the thing, right? So,
and I will also say, for all the people that are like, you know, what if wouldn't it be great if America had a parliamentary system? This is what that looks like. So like, if you want this, but all the time, like this is a parliamentary system.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. Best of luck. I'm okay with a parliamentary system if you had a couple of parties that were not full of lunatics. Like if they're full of lunatics, it doesn't matter if it's two parties or 30 parties. If 15 out of the 30 parties are fucking crazy,
I will say if we did switch to parliament, if we could get that Tory asshole from a couple of parliaments ago.
Oh, like, that guy.
Order!
That guy was awesome. He was a piece of shit, but that guy was awesome. Like, like we could just hire like maybe like a Mexican like soccer announcer. Like that would also work. Like goal, Joe Biden, goal. Like, yeah, that's fine. Anytime any legislation is passed. It's amazing to watch the sort of dichotomy between those two situations, right? Like, but that is politics, like perfectly, you know, boiled down. But yeah, it's a mess, and I don't know. I don't know what Kevin McCarthy like. What his threshold is? Is it 12? Is it 23?
I don't think he has one. I think he is willing to stick this out as long as he has the support of the caucus to do it. Eventually the caucus can ditch him. Cause like eventually they could be like, look, this isn't fucking going anywhere. I don't want to do it, but if we keep putting McCarthy up every single time, like, we're going to fucking lose. So if no one nominates him, like, they can kind of take care of that themselves, or if they can convince him to just step down, then that would work too. But again, if he steps down, if he loses, just go home. Like there's nothing left for you at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, they haven't figured that out at number 10. Like, what number do they need to be like, I don't know, man.
Well, and that's the point. Like, when they're going on TV, you know, they're like, oh, Kevin doesn't have the votes. And they're like, you don't have the votes. Like, there's 20 of you. There's 200 of them. Like, why the fuck do they have to bow down to you? Why aren't you making concessions to accepting their concessions and joining them? Your block is a tenth of what theirs is. Like it doesn't make any sense. Be like, oh, Kevin doesn't have the votes. You don't have the votes.
Well, it was
you're
funny.
Not even putting up.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Lauren Boebert was on when she was on Stephanie Ruhle's show. She's like, well, we have Republicans who are silently supporting her, and she was like, silently, like, that doesn't mean anything when they ask to vote. Like, what kind of like bullshit concept art is this? Like, when they ask you to vote, if they're not voting in favor of, Byron or Kevin Hearn, whoever the fuck that guy is, or Trump, like, in silence means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. You got to get the votes. Like, it's a whole famous song in Hamilton. You don't have the votes. Like, come on, man. Like, geez.
I would like there to be, like, so what would be cool is by the time we get to 11 or 12, just do one secret ballot just to see what happens. Like, pass a motion to be like, oh, the next ballot can be a secret ballot, so you don't have to announce who you're voting for. I just want to see what would happen. I want to see if, like, you'd lose a lot of Freedom Caucus folks, or maybe Boebert's right. Maybe, like, you get 30 more people in the Republican Party that would peel off from McCarthy, and then you're playing Republican Werewolf, which would be fucking hilarious as well.
Yeah, okay, I'm okay with each other. I know it was you, Brian. I don't know. Like, I find it hilarious. But the one thing I am concerned about, and I think anybody who can really, think about this and extrapolate it, like, this situation out, is what happens whenever they do eventually get a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get anything passed?
Like, oh, it's going to be a fucking gong show for 2 years. Are you kidding me? The only thing you're going to be able to do is fucking form a select committee to investigate Hunter Biden's penis. That's not the only consensus building that we're going to be able to get.
Hell yeah.
In the Republican Party in this Congress. Yeah.
I've waited so long to find out about Hunter Biden's hog, the hog committee. Like, we need to find out whether Hunter Biden was having sex with prostitutes and doing cocaine. Yep. Yeah, it looks, according to the notes, yes, he was doing those things.
We will stipulate to that fact.
Yeah. Adjourned.
case closed.
Yeah, like, we've done it, boys. We've figured out all the information. Like, yeah, dude, we know. We watched the Republican movie. It was really good. It's fascinating. I don't know how there's a story about the Democrats and Republicans kind of working together, and they're like, listen, these are things that we want, and maybe we'll help you out. Like, maybe. Like, we want to watch you guys flop around for a bit more, right? And basically what they said was, we're not going to be on board for Kevin McCarthy. Like, you toss that motherfucker, like, that's point one. Like, gone, right? But we will vote with you if you give us pick a Republican, that's fine. I mean, you can pick Jim Jeffries, Hakeem Jeffries if you want. But, like, if you don't want Hakeem, you can pick a Republican, but they have to be a moderate. They have to be, and I thought this was the super smart. It has to be a Republican who did not question the 2020 election. That's a real dig. Because what is there? Yeah. Three of them? Like, who are you going
to
pick?
Well, but you have to. So if you're Democrats, then you have to be careful. Because the last thing you want to do is fracture your own caucus.
That's right.
To do this, number one. Because, like, this could go a lot of different ways. If you fracture the caucus, that's bad. B, if you hang out, like, so it's like, oh, we'll just have eight people vote for him. Like, eight of the moderates vote for him. You're fucking yourself, or you're fucking those people, because those people, like, those votes can be hung around their neck for the next 2 years. And they're probably going to be in frontline districts, which is also a problem. So you might lose the seats to Republicans down the road. But so I think if you're going to do it, you have to do it as a party. Like, you can't just fucking have like 20 people.
Look, I'm even okay. I would even say, like, you don't do front lines. You pick people who are in as blue a fucking district. Fucking baby
blue.
And
everyone else. And everyone else votes present. Like you don't have to vote for, like, you don't have to vote for Jeffrey. You just, like, everyone else votes present.
So. But no, you don't even you don't even have to sacrifice that. You don't have to sacrifice any Democrat, actually, as I think about it. Your point being, they could just not show up. It just lowers it lowers the quorum. And then it Democrats just go, because that's the whole thing. Let me go back for folks who maybe don't understand the sort of details of this. Democrats have been pushing to make sure that all 212 of their people are in D.C. to vote, right?
Mm-hmm.
And vote for Hakeem Jeffries, like, directly. If they are not there, then it lowers the threshold of how many votes, right? So it's 218 because everyone is there, right? You need 218 mm-hmm. because everyone is there. But if all of a sudden 50 Democrats didn't show up that day, then the level of votes that McCarthy needs to get over the majority, that lessens, right? So
yes, because it's the majority of folks present, not
of Congress, right? Yeah. So Democrats don't have to do anything. They could just be like, we're just not gonna show up that day, like, in mass, just don't show up, right? And that could be enough to get whoever there over the threshold. It ain't gonna be Kevin McCarthy, but they could be like, you put up this one guy, all of your people vote, like, the vast majority of your people vote, and then we'll just all bail that day, right? So then the Democratic Party, all in lockstep, is not involved. Nobody has that hung around their neck. That's probably the best move. Somehow Democrats will fuck that up, and, like, one guy will show up and be like, hey, guys, am I here? Like, just nobody show up to Congress that day. Fucking take a sick day. Stay your ass home for that vote. It's not that hard. Just, you don't have to go back to your state. Just to fucking stay on K Street or whatever in your apartment.
Stay outside the chamber, because you still got to get sworn in after you get a speaker. So just, like, chill outside the chamber, have the vote. And be like, hey, we're here.
Did we miss something? Oh, that's crazy. So, I think that's the move.
Regardless, if you do that, though, you have to have concessions that you can immediately bring to
whoever
to the forefront to be like, hey, this is why that you can present to voters and be like, hey, this is why we're doing this. Like, I know that it's not popular. Here's the breaks. We were never going to get six Republicans to vote for Hakeem Jeffries. Like, so, like, this is the only way forward. So we made sure that we got X, Y, Z, A, B, C, and D.
And that's the politics of it. You have to go on TV and you have to tell them the concessions you got immediately.
Right.
Look, you can do that on TV outside the chamber as the vote is going on. That's how I would do it. If you're going to be an asshole, you make sure people know why you're being an asshole, right? So here's a quote from the Daily Beast article. If McCarthy's bid falters, fucking big if. Several Democrats said that they would consider serious concessions along with the right compromise candidate. Representative Ro Khanna told Fox News that Representative Brian Fitzpatrick, a leading moderate, would be palatable to him, as would Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin. The Democratic lawmaker also laid out another red line. The Democrats would only support a Republican who did not vote to object to the 2020 election results. Such a scenario may only come into focus not only if Kevin McCarthy fails, but if Republicans also fail to coalesce around another candidate for Speaker. So, look, you know, Brian Fitzpatrick or Mike Gallagher or somebody like that, they would have to also get the approval of that 200-person block or so, you know, of quote-unquote moderate Republicans. None of them are moderates, by the way. That's not a thing in that party anymore. But that is what you would have to have, and then all the Democrats just stay home that day or stay outside the chamber and just go right on TV, which is what I would do, and allow the Republicans – by the way, that's fucking theater. That's theater. Democrats all step back. Republicans vote for whatever moderate that the Democrats fucking approve. And the MAGA people are in the room screaming their fucking heads off because now they have Brian Fitzpatrick or Mike Gallagher, who they hate. Oh, oh, what a way to start the year. That's awesome. That's how you do it, man. Like, in 2023, Democrats got to get really, really good at they're already good on policy. They don't get it. They're not great on it, but they're good at it. You got to get good on the theater because that's good theater, man. That's good theater.
Then the next thing I want after the vote is done and it's been certified, it's for AOC to be the first person in the chamber and be like, huh, I guess you guys should have just voted for Kevin McCarthy. Just like go to take her seat.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Kevin here? Where's Kevin? Oh my God. Did you guys vote for Kevin? Oh, you picked the other guy. Weird. And then that zoom in like 1980s, like opening AOC, right? So like, but play to the theater because people like that. Like you got to play to the crowd a little bit. It works. And by the way, all of this, put this shit in your back pocket because this is the shit you draw on a fucking sledgehammer and you smash it over their fucking heads when it's time for the next election. You guys couldn't even get a fucking speaker. Oh,
The good news is you'll have plenty of help from the MAGA side of the Republican Party if that scenario were to take place.
Yeah.
They will be out for blood for 2 years. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. Look, it's inevitable, though. They have 20 votes. Yeah. The other guys have 200. And look, it's going to be wonderful to watch. But this is what happens. You have built Frankenstein's monster. And Frankenstein's monster has left the table and he's down in the village killing everyone. Like, that's coming. And it's going to be fun to watch. Because at a certain point, if Democrats play their cards right, they never have to do anything to fight Republicans. They can just let the Republicans rip each other apart and just sit back.
Just sit back.
Best of luck, man. Oh, is there an appropriations bill up? Oh, shit. What are you guys going to do, man? This looks really tough. Best of luck. Like, oh, the military budget? How's that going to work, guys? Oh, you're not going to buy enough planes? Oh, I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, do you need our help? Call us up. We'll see what our concessions are. And Democrats could get whatever the fuck they want. Because that speakership, in actuality, we said earlier that the speakership would be damaged. It's already done. It's already damaged.
Yeah.
Because like you said, all these concessions that are potentially on the table from McCarthy for the MAGA people, they're not going to accept going back for some, you think Brian Fitzpatrick or, Mike Gallagher can just rock without those shit being done? I mean, I guess they could if they strike a deal with the Democrats. Yeah,
if you struck a deal with the Democrats, you wouldn't have to worry about that shit. So
best of luck. Best of luck.
If the MAGA people had like even like an ounce of brain power, they'd realize that like, you know what, we can't really win anything out of this. Like all we can do is weaken Republicans' hand. But they're too dumb.
They're way too dumb. Look, I had to explain some like general government, like governance 101 to some people. But in fairness, in that conversation, they were like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm glad you conceded that because like I was getting very angry.
So what you were explaining to the person is they were like, oh, that like it's important to have a Republican Speaker of the House because that way they can impeach Biden and if the Senate removes him, which I don't know how you do with a Democratic Senate, but okay, whatever. Then you can get that Speaker of the House to move up to president. And your point to them was like, it's not a fucking conveyor belt. Like, that's not how this works. It's not like when the president goes away, everyone shifts up a position.
Right. That's not how that works.
Yeah.
Like
you get a new president and then they pick a new vice president and then that vice president is the new number two and the Speaker of the House stays number three. Like, the fuck?
Right. Like, the only way the speaker becomes number one and becomes the president is if the president and the vice president both die same time. Like it's not a King Ralph situation, you idiot. Like, right? Like, that's not how it works. But like, that person was cool. Like, whatever. I'm not calling them an idiot. But like, this is a MAGA fantasy. This is a MAGA fantasy, which is why Matt Gaetz, nominated Trump. This is why Lauren Boebert has like been like, maybe we'll nominate Donald Trump for speaker, right? Because you don't actually need to be an elected official to be speaker.
Correct.
Which is a wild thing. A lot of people are learning through this.
Which is funny, because like at the first sight of this, who comes strolling in the door like fucking Batman coming in through the fog? Is that Justin Amash? Like, Justin Amash is here to save America. He even went on Twitter and was like, Justin, you know, Amash, I'm willing to step up to fucking to
Justin Amash. Like, yeah, I'm sure the Republican Party would love to have you back. Get the fuck out of here. That's hilarious. I'm willing to make the sacrifices. Like, I'm sure you are. But yeah, you don't have to be an elected official. So like, yeah, they could just like vote us in and be like, all right, cool. Like one of us, like we're Speaker of the House. Like that's awesome. Right.
Can we be full Speaker of the House? That'd be fucking awesome.
Yeah. You take like, you know, like I'll take half the week. The week. Like, oh shit, Brad, there's a crazy bill up. You, who wants to fuck it up? You going to do it or are you going to need to do it? Right. So like this idea of them, you know, MAGA people being like, you could just simply put Trump in and then you just impeach Biden and then you impeach Harris and convict them in the Senate, like again, as if you
same
had
day,
a Senate.
By the way, same day.
It wouldn't even be the same day. It would have to be the exact same moment. Like they'd be like, and convictions. Like goodbye. Oh, yeah, we did it. Yeah. Like that's not possible, right?
Yeah.
Look, here's how I know. I know some people go, oh, maybe you're not correct, Jay. Maybe you're an idiot. Maybe you don't understand how government works. Well, don't believe me. Believe people who tried to prosecuted Spiro Agnew. The whole point of going after Spiro Agnew was that
first
is because they Watergate was going on and they knew that Nixon was fucked. But they also found out that Spiro Agnew was literally taking fucking cash money bribes in the White House, which is wild, right? They knew that. So what they were doing is, let's get rid of Agnew. We'll confront him, get him to resign, and get him the fuck out of office. Because if Nixon goes down, Agnew becomes president, and then Agnew would then pick a vice president. It wasn't, hey, why don't we get rid of Agnew, then move the Speaker of the House into that position, yeah, get rid of Nixon, and then move the Speaker up. It's not the game from fucking Price is Right with the yodeling guy. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Immediately, when Agnew stepped down, Nixon brings in another VP. That's how it works. Like, it's not... So they didn't want Agnew to move up and then Agnew pick a new VP, because that's how it would work. But my overarching point is, stop listening to these people, because I even said when someone brought this up, I was like, this is dumb. That's not how this shit is. Like you said, it's not a conveyor belt. That's not how it works. Yeah. Stop even giving this energy. It's stupid. Like, this is a stupid argument. And then this person was like, well, that's not true. And I was like, all right, you know, crack my knuckles. All right, let me explain how government works, right? But these people don't even understand how the government works.
Right.
And these people are like, we're the brain trust, right? And somebody did make a point lower on. It was like, no, they want Trump in there. So then some nutcase will try to like kill, you know, the president, the vice president. That I can believe.
Yeah, that I can believe.
That I can 100%.
Believe. Some fucking crazy person would definitely try to assassinate.
Yeah, and that's why it's dangerous to have him there. But Trump, he's not going to do – he's going to be the Speaker of the House? He's going to be the third person? No.
Guess what? It's fucking harder to be the Speaker of the House than it is to be the fucking president.
Because absolutely. That's real work.
You have to be – yeah, not because at least as the president, like, you're one guy and you have a lot of people reporting up to you. Being the fucking Speaker of the House is a goat rodeo. Like, it's not a –
This is like 100% true. It is.
Yeah. Like you're hurting cats work the whole time. Yeah. Like make sure like people are voting and like, you know, be strategic and think about like your party and making sure people get reelected. Trump's not going to do any of that shit. Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah. It's the idea of Trump doing the work, showing up to Congress every day, like whipping votes and like, hey, let's talk about this and let's try to figure out legislation. He didn't figure out legislation when he was president. Like, what are you you talking right. about? And he wasn't even writing it, right? How long, how many weeks have we had to wait for the Trump era healthcare bill? It never happened, right? So like this idea that he would be in the more like down and gritty legislative side of government is hilarious that anyone would truly believe yes. that. No. And he wouldn't take that position because it's lower than president anyway. Even if it was a strategic idea, he wouldn't take it because he would see it as being weak. That's just fundamentally not who he is. So look, we stuck on this the whole time. We're going to keep it
for good reason.
For good reason. But we stuck on this the whole time for the whole hour. Look, this is first episode back for 2023. Short episode. It's free for everybody. No post-game show. But don't worry. Hopefully there will be other news. This is all consuming. But hopefully there will be some bigger other news going into next week. But look, I think – I don't know. Like
prediction time. Prediction time for you.
Okay.
Will we have a Speaker of the House by the time we record our next episode?
No. here's my – so let's do prediction time for you, Brad. What's the number before Kevin McCarthy steps down?
Oh.
Brad,
I'm trying to map it
Brad
out.
Brad trying to figure out what's the furthest digit behind the decimal point for pi.
I say by the time we get to 20, like after the 20th vote, I feel like that's it.
You think we hit 20 before next show?
I do. Well, it depends if they work through the weekend or not. If they work through the weekend, then yes. But we'll
because they're doing like 2-3 a day at this point. Yeah. Like,
well, they're ramping up. They did 4 today. Because they couldn't get enough votes to adjourn. So they're like, well, I guess we got to vote again. And that's the funny thing. Like, we didn't even talk about that. Like,
I didn't literally, know that. That's funny.
Literally, the House can do two things right now. Vote on Speaker, vote to adjourn. Those are literally the only two things that they're allowed, allowed to do by the Constitution right now.
The House doesn't exist right now.
Technically correct, yes.
Wow. All right. So you think they'll hit 20, or at least get pretty damn close to 20 by the time next week?
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think we're going to have a speaker next week. The larger question for us and to the audience is, how many episodes will we be able to get through before we do have a speaker?
I'll tell you what, if we go past the next episode, like if 2 episodes later we still don't have a speaker, I'm going to have to get like the whiteboard to put behind me that's just days without a speaker and just kind of right. like track it.
With the numbers you just take off. Yeah. Like you know, days without an accident at this site. Yeah, like it's yeah, you know, just like the Count of Monte Cristo, just like carving it, the lines into the wall, 4 lines and then the cross. Like, it is pretty pathetic. It's pathetic. And everyone in the Republican Party, in national Republican politics, they should be ashamed of themselves. They really should.
If they were capable of feeling shame.
But they are, in fact, shameless. All right. That is it for us. It feels good to be back. It was a nice 2-3 week off. It was great. That's our nice little vacation every year, which I always enjoy. It gives me just enough time to, like, miss it and then get back in. But well, we need this mental break.
What a hell of a week. What a hell of a week to walk back into as well. Thank you. Thank you, House of Representatives. Or thank you, GOP. Representatives elect for the massive amount of entertainment this week. I don't think we've ever done a one story show before.
No,
not
we never
counting, like an election episode or anything.
Right, exactly. Yeah, look, this episode is brought to you by Kevin McCarthy, embarrassment and sadness, and Schadenfreude. Don't forget that one. All right, we'll be back next week. Later, guys.
See you.